Glass of water for him, please.
Yeah, that would be good. All right. Thank you, Brother Jay. I appreciate that. It is good to be back with you. It's been a long time. I was looking at my records today. I think we were originally with you back sometime around maybe 2002 or somewhere. Then we came back for again one more time around 07. So it's been at least about 7 or 8 years since we've been here. A long time. But I appreciate you having us back after all this time. And as Brother Jerry mentioned, I do have some of my boys with me. Royal, Ricky, come on up to the front. Help me out with something right now. We want to make sure everybody's got a couple of things before we get going today. We want to make sure that you have one of these packets right here, and that you have, is Christian out there? Send Christian in if he's out there too. And we want to make sure that you've got one of these papers on it that says Morning Momentum. Royal's going to come to the front right now. If you need one of these papers right here, let Royal know so he can get one to you. And if you I tell you what, Roll, go ahead and get the pencils too, because I don't see Christian right now. And if you need something to write with, let Royal know about that. Ricky, go back there and get these packets, and make sure anybody that needs one has a packet. Real quickly, go to the back there, get the packets, bring them up to the front. And we want to make sure that everybody, teenager and up, has one of those. And the boys are going to make sure that you have what you need there this morning. I know it's been a while since I was here, so let me just take a second while they're getting the materials to you to give you a little reminder of why we like to give you that material. Is our PowerPoint on right now? Okay. There we go. There we go. What people are only going to remember about 20% of what they hear. If you just sit and listen today, you're going to forget about 80% of everything I talk about by the time we go home for lunch today. But if you see something, you hear it, you write it down, it goes up to closer to 65%, about three times as much. And so what you want to do this morning is I'm going to be putting the answers to the outline for the two messages up behind me tonight, this morning, and I'm going to encourage you to just take those notes as we go through the materials. The packet, we'll get to that one during the second session today. The one you need to fill in right now is the one that says Morning Momentum, the one that Royal has given out back there. We want every individual to have one. Husband has one. Wife has a separate one. Everybody will get involved that way by taking those notes. So one more time, anybody need this piece of paper right here, need a pencil, or need a packet. We want everybody to have them. We got plenty of them. Don't be shy about asking for what you need this morning. Okay, make sure everybody's got what they need, and then if you boys will kind of hang around out there in the lobby and catch folks as they come in over the next few minutes, make sure they've got what they need, and we'll be ready to start then. Well, when I was with you back several years ago, we talked about redeeming the time, and we've got four messages now, had at that time four messages in that series. We've since added another one on the topic of morning momentum. This is something that's fairly new for me to speak about as a message in itself, but as I've talked on this topic of redeeming the time over the years, I have seen so much how vital it is that we master our mornings. Has anybody here ever had a stressful morning before? Anybody ever had trouble getting up on time before? Does that apply to anybody here? Anybody ever had trouble staying awake during your morning devotions, or am I the only one that's had a struggle with that? Anybody ever had a struggle even having enough time in the morning to have your morning devotions? If you just answered yes to any of those four questions I asked, I want you to pay some good attention to the next few minutes, because I believe we're going to be able to give you some good practical help from God's Word as we explore this topic of morning momentum, God's plan for launching an unstoppable day. Let's look at what God's Word has to say. Psalm 63, verse 1, first part of that verse says, O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. Say it with me, would you? O God, thou art my God, early will I seek thee. Let's ask God to show us how to apply that verse and these principles today. Lord Jesus, I want to pray that during the next few minutes, as we look at this topic of morning momentum, that you would show us how we can be more effective for you by starting our day in a way that honors you and that pleases you. Lord, would you show us today some practical ways that we can go home and begin tomorrow morning more effectively serving you as we learn the secrets of scriptural morning momentum. I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Well, I know something about you. I mean, even if we've never met before, I would know something about you. And that is, I know that you want a successful life. Because I haven't met anybody yet that doesn't want a successful life, right? The problem, however, is that very few of us have ever really taken the time to think through what a successful life actually is. And until we do that, we're aiming at nothing, and our fuzzy thinking will ensure that we're going to hit our target every time. And so I want to give you a definition today of what a successful life is. A successful life, get this, is simply an accumulation of successful days. Live enough successful days and you will have eventually lived a successful life. Pretty simple, right? So the question becomes, okay, what's the key to having a successful day? Well, there's an old proverb that says, as goes the morning, so goes the day. And it's true. Success or failure are determined in the morning. And so if you're taking the notes, right there's where you start filling in those blanks. Number one, success or failure is determined in the morning. That's the first reason why mornings matter, because success or failure are determined in the morning. Look, I don't know all the keys to success, but I can tell you this. One of the keys to failure is to consistently get up late and start your day late. Am I right about that one? That is definitely one of the keys to failure. God gives you 24 hours every single day. And the most important one is that very first hour, because that is going to set the tone for the other 23 hours that follow, either one of laziness, rationalization, excuse-making, time-wasting, or of diligence, enthusiasm, usefulness to God, and redeeming the time. Those patterns are set early in the morning. So if you want to have a successful life, have a successful day by focusing on a successful morning. Success or failure are determined in the morning. That's the first reason we know mornings matter. Second reason why mornings matter is because of the example of others who have mastered mornings. You see, I believe you not only want to be successful, but I believe you also want to be wise. So how does a person become wise? Well, according to Scripture, there are a number of ways to do that, but one of the keys is found in Proverbs 13:20, where God says, "He that walketh with wise men shall be wise." How do you become wise? You become wise by walking with wise men. In other words, by spending some time with wise people. Thank you, sir. And one of the ways that we can do that is by studying the lives of those who have gone before us who were wise people, because people will generally leave clues behind as far as their success or their failure. And wise people will tend to leave clues behind. One of the clues, one of the patterns that you will see in the lives of wise people is a pattern of early rising. We can see this all through Scripture. Starting back in the Old Testament, Abraham, he was an early riser. We're told that he got up early in the morning to perform a difficult task when he went to sacrifice Isaac. He got up early in the morning to do that. Moses, on the days he was to speak to Pharaoh, Scripture tells us he rose early in the morning for that special task. Joshua, when he went out to conquer enemy territory, what does the Scripture say he did? It says he started early in the morning for that task. Gideon, he wanted to hear from God. He wanted to get God's answer. What did he do? He got up early in the morning anticipating what God was going to speak to him that day. Job, he was a very successful man. He had a large family, 10 children, I believe it was, and he was also the most successful businessman in his country at that time. And yet, he was a very busy man, but what did he do? Scripture says in the very beginning of the book of Job that he was a man who rose early in the morning to spend time praying for his family. Move on over into the New Testament. Jesus, we're told, on occasions rose a great while before the day to spend time in prayer. Now, he may not have rose a great while before the day every time, but every day, but we see that there was a pattern that he rose early to talk to his Heavenly Father. You go even beyond Scripture, all down through church history, we see that great men and women who were greatly used of God had this pattern of early rising, the Reformation leaders, men like John Wesley, who were greatly used of God in those days. Wesley consistently rose at either 4 or 5 in the morning, often preaching 1 hour later than when he got up. Even in the secular world, the average CEO, leader of a major corporation in America, gets up at 5 o'clock in the morning. Some are already at work by that time, and many of them will have accomplished a day's work before everybody else even makes it into the office that day. Dave Ramsey, most of you would recognize that name, a Christian financial leader of our day, has cited some studies that show a direct correlation between how early a person gets up in the morning and how well they're able to manage their finances. And if you just think about it personally, think about great men and women of God that you have known personally. Chances are they probably were not rolling out of bed at the crack of noon, right? They were probably not answering the front door in their house code at 11 o'clock in the morning. Generally, they're people who have learned the discipline of rising up in the morning and spending that precious morning time with God. So we know that mornings matter because of the examples that we have seen all down through history and today of people who have mastered mornings. Third reason we know that mornings matter is because time matters. In 1999, a lady named Jenny Wood Allen completed the London Marathon in 7 hours and 14 minutes. Now you might say, well, Brother Rick, what's so great about that? Well, what's so great about that is the fact that Jenny Wood Allen was born in 1911, and at 87 years old, she became the oldest woman ever to finish a marathon. Jenny continued to participate in marathons until she was 90 years old. She remained athletic until shortly before her death at 99 years old. Now, Jenny didn't run her first race until she was 71 years old, and actually, I need to change my notes on this because I heard just about a week or two ago, somebody had broken her record, a person from right up the road in Charlotte, North Carolina, a lady I believe was 92 years old now, and almost like this lady I just referred to. She didn't start running marathons until she was in her 70s. But folks, you and I are in a race today, and it's a race with time. The race we have is to see how much we can do for God between now and the day we die. And in order to do that, we've got to get started as soon as the starter pistol is fired. Amen? We've got to learn to redeem that time starting early in the morning. There's I guess you'd call it a proverb, analogy, whatever, that is kind of popular that I want to just share with you. Every morning in Africa, a gazelle wakes up, and that gazelle knows that it has to run faster than the fastest lion, or that gazelle is going to be eaten. It's going to become lunch. Every morning in Africa, a lion wakes up, and that lion knows that it has to run faster than the slowest gazelle, or it's going to starve to death. And so when the sun comes up, you better be ready to run. Doesn't matter if you're a lion or a gazelle, you better be ready to run if you want to survive. So there's three reasons we know that mornings matter. Now, let's get practical at this point and look at how we can actually improve our mornings. Let's focus on the very first minute. A laser is a powerful tool because it takes light that would normally be spread out over a broad territory, and it focuses it on one specific spot. What we're going to do right now is laser focus on the very most important minute of your whole day. God gives you 1,440 minutes every day, and the most important one is that very first one, because again, that's going to set the tone for the other 1,439 that follow. You can't focus on your whole day because that wouldn't be focusing. So we're going to learn right now how to laser focus on getting that very first minute right. I'm going to give you three things you need to do during your first minute. Number one, you got to wake up. Pretty simple, right? Not rocket science here. And most of us, in order to wake up properly, are going to use one of these little devices right here. What do you call this little electronic rooster? Somebody tell me. It is an alarm clock. That's what most of us call it, and there's where the problem starts. Because an alarm signals that there is a problem. Whenever what you call something has an effect on how you think about it. You know, nobody buys a used car anymore. Have you noticed that? They're all pre-owned cars now. They renamed that to make them, politicians don't give you new taxes. They have revenue enhancements now. Okay? So we're going to rename this device right here. We're not going to call this an alarm clock anymore. We're going to call this an opportunity clock. So that when that thing goes off, we're going to recognize that there's no need to be alarmed. We have an opportunity. An alarm means something bad's about to happen. Think about it. If we were sitting here in church and all of a sudden we hear, we know there's a fire alarm. That means we got to rush for the door. We got to get out of here. We're going to be burned alive. If a burglar alarm goes off, that means somebody is threatening your family. You better take action. If we're in a war zone and an air raid goes off, that means bombs are getting ready to fall. There's nothing to be alarmed about because this thing goes off. Okay, so we're going to start calling that our opportunity clock. We ought to be alarmed if we don't wake up in the morning, right? That would be the cause for alarm. But because you woke up, you do have opportunity now. Now that we know what to call this device, let's talk about how to use it. I was a missionary, my wife and I were, in the country of Czechoslovakia for a while right after the fall of communism. We had a little communist-made refrigerator, and in that refrigerator on the top shelf there was a little red button that came out of the side wall. This button, when you would push it, would shut the refrigerator down. And the problem was, anytime your milk slid up against the side of the wall, it would shut the refrigerator down and everything would be spoiled. I never could figure out why the communists put that button on there that would shut the thing down. Didn't make any sense at all to me. And there is also a little button right here on the top of your opportunity clock that also doesn't make a whole lot of sense. What's it called? A snooze button. That's what most folks call it. I call it a lose button because when you choose to snooze, you choose to lose. I know I can speak to this from my own personal experience. I know for several years I had a problem with the snooze button. Clock would go off. I'd roll over, smack it, fall right back in bed, smack it, fall right back in bed. And I'd go through that routine every morning while I counted through the Boeing numbers. You know the Boeing aircraft? They got a 727. 10 minutes later, 737. Then a 747, even a 757. I'd do that till about 8 o'clock, throw my clothes on, run out of the door, barely getting to work on time, not spending time with God like I should have. Well, one day I came across a scripture in Proverbs, and it said, as the door turns on its hinges, so does the slothful man or the lazy man on his bed. I said, that's Rick Grubbs trying to get up right there, like a door on the hinges, kind of rolling back and forth, getting in a wrestling match with my sheets and getting pinned. And so I cut the wires to that snooze button, put it on the other side of the room so that when the clock went off, I had to get up, had to go across the room, had to shut it off. I only got one opportunity to do it. By then I was up, and up is where I already determined the night before I had to be at that time if I was going to spend time with the Lord. So mind over mattress. That's what you got to remember. Get yourself up on time. Put it across the room. Look, get this, folks. 5 extra minutes of sleep between snooze alarms is not going to make you more refreshed and energetic for the day. Am I right about that? That's not going to happen. So if you don't like getting up, don't prolong the process. Just go ahead and do it. Get it over with and get on up. If you have, a lot of us today are using our phones as wake-up devices. Your phone has a setting in it that says snooze, on or off. Go ahead the night before. Turn that option off before the next day. Snoozers are what? Losers. Snoozers are losers. So learn how to wake up. That's the first thing you got to do that first minute. But you not only need to learn how to wake up, you have to learn how to get up. The first question that you have to ask every morning, that you have to answer every morning, is not, should I get up right now? Because you already determined that the night before when you set your opportunity clock. The first question you have to answer is, am I going to obey God by going ahead and getting up right now, yes or no? There has to come a physical separation between you and the bed during that first moment. And if there's any hesitation here, you're dead meat. You are toast. You just lost. The devil got his claws in you, and he got his first victory in you for the day right there. And so, again, put the opportunity clock all the way across the room so that you have to make a physical separation between yourself and the bed. Maybe a little clock like this or what's on your phone might not do the job. There are some very creative clocks out there. If you just do a quick internet search of it, you'll find them. There are, for example, high decibel alarm clocks that sound like a train horn that go off. Some of those might be necessary for us. There are catch-me clocks that actually literally bounce off the wall when they go off, and you have to get out and you have to catch this clock. It's got a couple of wheels on it as it bounces around the room. There are helicopter clocks that shoot a key out that flies around the room, and you have to get up and you have to chase that thing down. There are bed-shaking clocks that are designed for the deaf and hard of hearing. Some of us fall into that category first thing in the morning. Maybe that's what you need. I tell you, the most drastic one I ever saw when I was researching this was a fella that had taken a paper shredder and a $20 bill, and he taped the $20 bill onto the bottom of a piece of paper, put it in the paper shredder, and he wired the paper shredder so that when his clock went off, the paper shredder would also go off at the same time, which means he literally had a matter of seconds to get out of the bed, get across the room, rescue that $20 bill from the paper shredder. Now, I haven't had to go that far yet, but I can't imagine too many people for who that clock would not work. So whatever it is, get yourself out of that bed, whatever you need to do, give you a little, and then as you're getting up, give yourself a little motivation as you rise. God says, in all your ways, acknowledge me, Proverbs 3:5. You can start that very first thing in the morning. As you're waking up, say, praise God, it's a great day to get up and go get them. Or thank you, Lord, for giving me another day. Just give a little one-line acknowledgement to God as you're rising up from the bed. This is not your morning devotions. This is just a quick acknowledgement of God as you're leaving the bed. Even if your spouse is asleep, you can still do it. Just do it silently. Just go, praise God, it's a great day to praise the Lord. And as you're getting up, and just go ahead and give God some praise as you're getting up. You'll find that'll give you an incredible amount of morning momentum. So we not only have to wake up, we have to get up. And then the third thing we have to do that first minute is we have to stay up. Wake up, get up, and stay up. When you wake up, get up. When you get up, wake up. And when you wake up and get up, then you stay up. You can do a couple things here that might help you. Immediately make up your bed. That unmade bed is like a giant electromagnet that is pulling your body back into a horizontal position. And the way you shut that thing off is by quickly covering it up. You don't have to get it military perfect. Nobody's going to inspect it or anything. But just go ahead and get it done quickly before you fall back in bed. Now, you don't have to be like the lady that her husband got up in the middle of the night to go to the bathroom. When he came back, she'd already made the bed. We don't have to go that far with it. But we do want to go ahead and get that done first thing. And then do some quick exercise if you need to. Do some push-ups. Do some sit-ups. Get out and take a quick walk. Whatever you need to do to get yourself going early in the morning. Your first task each morning is not to have your devotions. That doesn't sound very spiritual, does it? But your first task each morning is not to have your devotions. Your first task is to wake up enough so that you can have meaningful devotions. Because until you've done that, the devotions are just going to be a struggle. They're going to be meaningless. If you need to, get an accountability partner. The Bible says a threefold cord is not easily broken. That means when we join forces together, we're stronger together than we are separately. As iron sharpens iron, so a man sharpens the countenance of his friend. Get some help, get some accountability if you need to get yourself out of bed early in the morning. So that's what you do your first minute. You wake up, you get up, and you stay up. Now, let's move beyond the first minute. Let's get into the morning routine. We're going to learn how now to streamline the morning routine to keep that morning momentum going that we just generated during that first minute. And I'm going to just give you some real practical ideas here. This first one, learn how to get your morning routines done quickly. Get them done quickly. Let me give you an example of how you can keep your morning momentum going during your morning routine. Most people are going to take a shower and they're going to get out of the shower and dry themselves off using a single towel, using one towel. Now, here's the problem with only having a one towel system. most of us will get out, we'll dry off of that towel, and before we get completely finished drying off, that towel will reach a point of saturation where it loses some of its effectiveness, and we find ourselves trying to finish the job using a wet towel. Now, the opposite of this is you get two towels ready before you jump into the shower. Then you use the first one for heavy drying, the second one for finishing the job. Now, if that little technique was to save you just 30 seconds a day, over the next 10 years, you could spend 30 less hours drying off. Now, wouldn't you like to have 30 extra hours to volunteer for the church, do something with your family, do something for the Lord instead of drying yourself off? There's how you do it. Just get you a second towel. You know, I used to use a hair dryer every morning to dry my hair. And then I made an amazing discovery. I found that if I got out of the shower, just kind of did a quick towel dry, comb my hair into place, the same thing happened every day. It would always dry. And never failed to dry. So I saved some time right there. You might think these things sound kind of trivial, but think about it this way. Maybe you've heard somebody say, give this little saying before. He puts his pants on one leg at a time. Yeah, maybe you've heard that little saying before. This guy, he puts his pants on one leg at a time. What it means is he's just a normal guy, just a plain old human being like everybody else, because everybody puts their pants on one leg at a time. Everybody except for one group of people. Does anybody know who does not put their pants on one leg at a time? Who is it, Roel? Firemen, exactly. Firemen jump into their boots, both legs at the same time, because they realize that when somebody is trapped in a burning building, those few extra seconds could make a difference between life and death for that individual. And so they've refined it to a science to see how they can get that momentum when they first wake up and get that firefighting equipment on. Now, you and I as Christians are also on a very important mission. We've got a world of people around us that are in some very big trouble, and those keeping that morning momentum up can make a big difference in how our day goes. And again, it's not the 30 seconds with the extra towel that matters. It's the momentum that we're maintaining during those morning routines. So, number one, get them done quickly. Number two, remember that every decision point has the potential to divert morning momentum. The devil uses weapons of mass distraction all day long on us, but I think he especially bombards us with some intensity early in the morning. So the way you avoid those weapons of mass distraction is by making as many decisions as possible the night before and getting things laid out ahead of time. Go ahead and make decisions about clothing, what you're going to read for devotions, what you're going to have for breakfast, what kind of exercise you're going to do. You don't have to get in a rut, but go ahead and get in a routine. Make as many of those decisions ahead of time, and that'll mean you're a whole lot less likely to get distracted. Third thing we can do to improve our morning routine is to prioritize devotions. When we say, I don't have time for devotions, what we're really saying is, I don't have enough self-discipline to make my morning devotions happen, or I've chosen to do other things with my mornings instead of spending time with God. Look, folks, we all have the same amount of time, right? We all have the same 24 hours in each day. We simply have to decide what is most important and make sure that gets on the agenda first. Let me give you what I believe is probably the most powerful single line statement in the whole field of time management, redeeming the time. It's this: there is always time for the thing you do first. Can I say that for you one more time? There's always time for the thing you do first. That's why you have to make sure that you're doing the most important things first. Now, Jesus told us what one of the most important things we had to do were. Matthew 6:33. Seek first two things: kingdom of God and His righteousness. One of the practical ways we do that is by spending time in the morning with God, seeking His kingdom, seeking His righteousness, doing first things first, because there's always going to be time for the thing you do first. That's why we prioritize devotions. We get them in early in the morning. We get them on the agenda first to make sure they happen, because, again, there's always time for the thing you do first. Now, as we're on the topic of devotions, keep this in mind, that we want to include daily planning with our devotions. Include daily planning with your devotions. What I mean by this is, you have your Bible here, you have your planner here. And there are a couple of reasons why we want to do this. Because, first of all, there are some things you want to remember. In other words, as you're reading God's Word, as you're reading through your devotional material, God may prompt you to take some action on something you've just read in that devotional material. If you have your planner right there, you go ahead right then and write that down, and you get it on your agenda just as soon as God speaks to you about it. Now, the second reason is so you can forget some things. Let's say you're having devotions and you remember, oh, I'm supposed to pay that bill today. Well, if you don't have a system of going ahead and writing that down and getting it in your planner, the rest of your devotions are going to be distracted by trying to remember that bill you got to pay, or else you'll stop in the middle of it and pay the bill and get distracted. So make sure you have a system of recording things on that daily planner while you're having your morning devotions, and that'll help keep you focused. If devotions do anything for us, they ought to give us some direction for the day, right? They ought to give us some ideas on how we can spend our time. So, number four, as we think about the morning routine, remember to make your morning commute count. The average American commutes about 45 minutes each day, about 20-some minutes going, 20-some minutes coming from work. That's a lot of time, especially when you multiply it over a period of months or years. And we need to come up with a strategy for redeeming that morning commute to keep that momentum up during the morning commute. I'm going to give you a simple little way to remember it. Use your ears, use your mouth, and use your brain. Use your ears, use your mouth, use your brain. Use your ears. Listen to something motivational or inspirational on your way to work, on your morning commute. If you will listen to the Bible just 15 minutes a day as you're driving to work, in 1 year's time you will listen to the entire Word of God without even spending any more time out of your schedule. It's just a matter of getting in the habit of doing it. 15 minutes a day, you listen to the Bible in a whole year. And there's a zillion apps out there for our phones that make that very easy to do today. So, use your ears. Secondly, use your mouth. Talk to somebody. Take somebody with you, or talk to God as you're going down the road on your way there. And then thirdly, use your brain as you're driving. You know, problem is, most of us don't think about what we're thinking about. Did you follow that sentence? We don't think about what we're thinking about. We're always thinking about something, right? If you're alive, you're thinking about something, but we don't think about what we're thinking about. So just think about what you're thinking about while you're going to work the next morning, and see if you can think about something that would help you redeem the time as you're going along. John Wesley, I referred to him as a man earlier who greatly redeemed the time. And Mr. Wesley had a habit of taking a nap on horseback. He would tell his horse where to go. The horse would go down the road, and he'd take a nap as he was doing it. He redeemed the time that way. And I don't suggest you do that while you're driving to work. That might not have such a good outcome as his horse did. But do think of ways you can creatively multitask. Here's another strategy. Picking up the fragments that remain. You know, when Jesus fed the multitudes, at the end of it, what did he tell his disciples to do? He said, go out and pick up the fragments that remain. Jesus gave an example of being careful to make full use of the resources he gave us, right down to the fragments. So how does that apply to us? Well, let's say you have a fragment in your morning drive. Let's say you've got 60 seconds, you're sitting at a stoplight. What can you do in that 60 seconds? Well, let me just give you some practical suggestions here. You could trim your fingernails. You could comb your hair. You could take a drink of water. You could read, quote, or memorize scripture from a little promise box you keep on your dashboard. You could straighten up the mess in your glove compartment. Gather up any trash you can reach. Organize your coins and reload your car change holder. Organize your wallet or your purse. Take a breath mint. Stick your head out the door and see if your tires need any air. Check your appearance, your zippers, buttons, buckles, teeth, and nose. All those things you can do during 60-second segments while you're waiting on the stoplight to change. Now, you might say, well, Brother Rick, if I was doing all that stuff at the stoplight, I might not even see it turn green. You don't have to worry about that. A millisecond has been defined as the amount of time between when your light turns green and when the guy behind you starts honking his horn. So you're going to know when the light turns green. But go ahead. Point is, learn how to pick up those fragments that remain even on your morning commute. And then another thing that we want to keep in mind is arriving at work early. Create enough margin in your schedule that you'll keep a good testimony with your employer and your coworkers by arriving early. You know, some people have this small-minded idea that it's sort of fashionably late. To come in late for a meeting. They think somehow that by getting there a little bit later for the meeting than everybody else, that they're projecting an image that they're a little bit more important or have more important things to do than everybody else in the room. But really, there's no such thing as being fashionably late. It's just inconsiderate. It's a lack of punctuality, and when you're talking about arriving for your employer on time, it's also a matter of your testimony there. And then as you arrive, let me give you an idea. Why don't you try parking further from the door instead of closer to the door, especially if you're parking in a larger setting. I try to make it my practice to do this whenever I think about it. By parking further from the door, a lot of times you will actually save time instead of trying to get as close to the door as you can. You know, Jesus rebuked his disciples when they went to a feast for everybody trying to get the very best seat at the feast. Remember that? He said, no, you just take the low place and let somebody else go in front of you. The first shall be last. And that can apply in the modern parking lot. It's a whole lot easier, really, to get in and out of the parking lot if you park further out. We do this all the time, like when we go to Walmart or Lowe's, our family does. We'll park further out because you don't have to negotiate all that traffic up around the front door. You just park out a little bit further. You don't have to worry about anybody slamming their door into your car or anything like that. I go to the YMCA when I'm home. I'll try to go a couple days a week. And it's funny, even at the Y, everybody's going there early in the morning to exercise, and they'll all bunch up right around the door to see how close to the door they can get so they don't have to walk that extra 30 feet to the parking place just down the parking lot. And they're going inside to exercise. Now, I haven't figured that one out yet. But that's just what we get used to. We get used to trying to get that very best spot. And a lot of times we're a whole lot better off to just let somebody else have that. Maybe they need it more than you do. Maybe it's an older person or a handicapped person that might actually need that spot. So go ahead and park a little bit further out. Let somebody else have the prime spot. All right, we've got our morning routines streamlined now. Let's look at what we have to do, though, before we even get to the morning. Because a successful morning actually begins the night before. This is scriptural. Go back to the book of Genesis. When God was creating the world, you see a pattern in Genesis chapter 1 where he says, the evening and the morning were the first day. It wasn't the morning and the evening were the first day. God said the evening and the morning were the first day. So actually, the beginning of the day is not sun up, it's sun down. And Jewish people, even to this day, will recognize the beginning of the day as when the sun goes down, not necessarily when the sun comes up. And I think that there is some value in preparing for the next day, beginning the night before. I'm going to give you two things you can keep in mind as you try to implement this. Number one thing you have to do is start preparing your stuff. As soon as you get home from work the day before, go ahead and start preparing your stuff the night before. Again, think about a fireman. Have you ever seen a fire truck that is not backed into the station? No, they always back the truck in so that they'll be ready and have that momentum to leave the next time they're called upon. So get in the habit of backing your car in. That's a simple little thing you can do that'll increase that morning momentum. You're backed in. You're ready to go the next morning when it's time to get started. Whatever personally triggers momentum for you, get it prepared ahead of time. If you're a coffee drinker, get that coffee pot ready ahead of time. So all you got to do is click it on, or just get one that automatically comes on at wake up time. If you've got certain types of music that you respond to well in the morning that gets your momentum going, gets your mind focused on the things of God, go ahead and get that going. Your clothes, your breakfast, your lunch, all those things that you have to get done the next day, go ahead and get those done early on, right after supper. Just go ahead and get those things ready. Sunday especially is such an important day with this. I know in our family, we used to have so many battles on Sunday morning. It'd be about time to go leave for church, and one of the little ones wouldn't have their shoes or wouldn't have already lost these clothes or whatever, and it's such a cause of frustration. So what we started doing sometimes now is on Saturday night, before they go to bed, we'll get their clothes and line them up, maybe on a sofa, like little silhouettes. You know, a little dress here, a little shirt here, a little pair of pants here, and they look like little silhouettes of dolls sitting there on the sofa before we go to bed. I always thought if a burglar ever came and broke into our house on Saturday night, he might think the rapture had come with all those little clothes set out there like that. But it works! And so figure out what you can do early on to get yourself to bed on time. A couple other things you can prepare the night before are get some light ready to shine on you in the morning. If you wake up after the sun comes up, go ahead and open your blinds the night before so that when the sun comes up, it's going to flood your room with sunlight and get a new bright spirit in the room that morning. We were traveling a little while back, and one of my young ones, we were out one night taking a walk, and we walked past this bar. And he looked over at the bar, and he said, "Wow, those places are always dark, aren't they?" And I said, "Yeah, that's right, because when people are sinning, they like to do it a lot of times in a dark setting, because so many times physical and spiritual darkness go together. And there's a positive side of that too, though, because as we get physical light in the room, it helps, I believe, get a spiritual light going as well. So, get your stuff ready. Second thing we want to do the night before is prepare yourself. Prepare your stuff and prepare yourself. Go ahead and get your teeth brushed early. Why wait till bedtime to do that? If you're gonna, if you eat supper at 6 o'clock, go ahead and, about 20 minutes after that, go ahead and brush teeth. Get them ready for bed. That signals your body that, you can start winding down and set a target bedtime and use your opportunity clock if you need to. You know, set an alarm on your phone or on your clock to go off at bedtime. And it kind of makes a little fun game out of it. I do this every once in a while. My target bedtime is 10:45. And I like to have my clock go off every once in a while at 10:45. Just see if I can be in bed before that clock actually goes off. So whatever your target time is, make a little game out of it. See if you can get in bed on time. I want to give you something that I think will help you in this matter of getting to bed on time and getting up on time, is a little book called Learn How to Wake Up and Get Up. This is a little booklet based largely on a message by John Wesley, who I mentioned earlier. I cite him often as an example of someone who redeemed the time well and learned morning momentum. John Wesley was a man who was greatly used of God, and he attributed the fact that he had been greatly used of God to his discipline of early rising and spending his mornings correctly. And so Mr. Wesley had a list of 52 sermons that he would give his young circuit rider preachers that were training under him. One of those 52 essential sermons he wanted them to get was simply devoted to the topic of how to know when to go to bed and how to get up. And he was very methodical in how he came up with how to do this. And so I have taken that message that he gave, I've translated it into modern English, and I've put it in a little 12, 13-page booklet here that that you can read in just a few minutes, and it can make a profound difference in your life. If I was to give you this book today, how many people would like to get one of these for free? Anybody? Let's see. Okay, that's what I figured. About everybody would probably like one of these. So, here's what you do. Look down in this folder that you were given earlier, this packet, look down in it. You're going to find there an envelope from our ministry. If you would like one of these, learn how to wake up and get up, just put your email across the bottom of that envelope right there. Just write it out for me real clearly where I can read it clearly, and just put it on there and make sure you get it before you leave today. You can give it to me, you can drop it off on the table out there, you can put it in the offering later on, whatever you want to do, but just make sure we get that. We won't spam you, we won't do anything bad, but we will get you that book, and I actually have my own book on this topic of morning momentum that I'm planning to publish within the next year or so, and you'll know about that book when it comes out as well if you put your email right there. Again, we won't do anything bad with it, but we got to have it to get you those resources. So right now, go ahead, take advantage of that if you like by putting the email across the bottom of that envelope so that we can get you that resource and God can use you then to your full potential. So prepare your stuff. Prepare yourself. And as you go to bed then, as you conclude the day, do you believe you can redeem the time while you're sleeping? I believe you can. Here's a couple of ideas. Ask God a question as you're falling asleep. Maybe you've got something you've been praying about, some problem that's into your life right now. Just as you go to sleep, say, God, would you help me with this? And you know, a lot of times God will give those answers in the night. Psalm 16, verse 7, David said, I will bless the Lord who has given me counsel. My reins, that's like the reins of a horse, also instruct me in the night season. And so as we meditate on God's word when we're falling asleep, his word goes through our mind, goes through our spirit through the night. And I believe, I have experienced it myself so many times where I wake up in the morning and it's like there's an idea right there when I first wake up. And if I can capture that idea, that gives me such a great reward for that morning momentum. Well, we know how to, we've seen the value of it now. We've taken it up to the night before. Now, here comes the practical application, folks. Three more points, and I want you to fill these in as we go through them right now. We're going to become doers of the word at this point. Now, you've been a hearer so far. Now comes your turn to be a doer of the word by filling in these three blanks. Number one, tomorrow morning, I will rise at blank a.m. I'm going to challenge you to fill in that blank right now. Set yourself a goal right now, not 5 minutes, not when you get home, right now. Put a time down that you want to get up tomorrow morning. Let me just give you a couple of ideas on how you can do this. How many people would like an extra two-week vacation next year? Let me see your hand if you want an extra two-week vacation next year. Let me see. Okay, just about everybody. All right, here's how you do it. If you will move your alarm clock back, your waking time back, just 15 minutes, in 1 year's time, you're going to add 92 hours to your waking life. That's more than 2 40-hour work weeks of vacation right there. Pretty good bonus for coming to church this morning, wasn't it? Well, you can get that if you just move that rising time back 15 more minutes, and you'll have some time to spend with the Lord then. You say, well, Brother Rick, I'm already at my limit. And you may be. Not everybody can go back 15 minutes. I'll grant that. But I believe nearly all of us can move it back at least 1 minute. And here's how you do it. If you've been used to getting up at 7 o'clock, move it back just 1 minute to 6:59. Now, here's why you do that. Because it gives you a psychological boost. You're no longer in the 7 o'clock group, you're in the 6 o'clock group. And it gives you bragging rights. You know, when you're at work and you're talking about when you get up, you say, well, I get up at 6 something. You know, 6:59, but you're still in the 6 something category, right? Or make it 5:59. You can get up in the 5 o'clock category. But whatever it is, move it back. Even just 1 minute will help. Every once in a while, you may want to do an extreme early morning rising. Like, if you've got a special project, instead of staying up late at night to get it done, get up at 3:30 in the morning to get it done. You will find that when you get up at 3:30 in the morning, just the shock value of waking up at that hour of the morning is going to send adrenaline through your body and get you going on the thing. Now, you can't do that every day. I realize that. I don't do that. But every once in a while, you may really enjoy getting up super early. Do the 3:30 in the morning thing sometime. All right. Second suggestion on how to be a doer of the word. I will spend at least blank minutes in devotions and planning. The key term here is at least. This is the minimum that you're going to purpose to do. to spend time with the Lord. And again, the term is at least. You can always do more. But go ahead and establish what your minimum is. I suggest having a minimum time instead of a minimum number of chapters, because you'll be tempted to read Psalm, I think it's 117, that has the two verses in it, and you'll never get to 119. But go ahead and establish what period of time. Maybe even if it's just 2 or 3 minutes, if you've got a set block right there, that's a good commitment to make. And then finally, if you're going to get to bed on, if you're going to get up on time, we got to go to bed on time, right? And so fill in the third blank. Tonight, I will be in bed by blank p.m. Again, it's simple math. If you're going to get up on time, you got to get to bed on time. Amen? Amen. Brother Jerry, I think I'm supposed to be done at 9:45. I'm done at about 9:40. Would it be okay to see if we want to have any Q&A for just a couple minutes? Anybody? Questions, answers, comments on anything that we have shared this morning before we kind of break and go into the next service? Anybody? I'd like to hear your feedback. You don't have to agree with everyone. This is not all thus saith the Lord either. You know, some of these are just helpful ideas that I've found that I'm passing along to you. So if there's anything that you want to make note of, do that right now. Anybody? No? All right. Well, if there are no comments or questions, I will take my seat and be back with you in a few minutes.